Welcome to the Daily Stoic Podcast, where each day we read a passage of ancient wisdom designed to help you in your everyday life. On Fridays, we not only read this daily meditation, but I try to answer some questions from listeners and fellow Stoics who are trying to apply this philosophy, whatever it is they happen to do. Sometimes these are from talks. Sometimes these are written in from listeners and subscribers. Sometimes these are people who come up to talk to me on the street. But I hope in answering their questions, I can answer your questions, give a little more guidance on this philosophy we're all trying to follow. I'm just about to go into the studio to record my latest audiobook. My wife and I have been listening to audiobooks. We've been listening to audiobooks in the car as a family just to keep our kids off screens because Audible is amazing. And Audible is also the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases and next to listen recommendations to satisfy every type of thriller listener. If you want breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that will enthrall you, even brand new and exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, then you want to check out Audible. My wife and I were just raving about this true crime audiobook that we read called Furious Hours. And then I've been raving about this book, Night of the Grizzlies, which I loved. Audio piques the imagination and it brings thrillers to life. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. Visit audible.com/dailystoic or text dailystoic to 500-500. That's audible.com/dailystoic or text dailystoic to 500-500. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now. The heart is a muscle. Marcus Aurelius was an austere and quiet boy. He was focused on books and ideas, not people. He slept on a hard mattress and tested himself physically. He wanted no part of being emperor, preferring instead a life of study in the mind. But life, as his teacher Fronto would say, forced him to lay down the tunic of a philosopher and put on the cloak of the emperor. Suddenly, he was not just in charge, but responsible for millions of people. Justice wasn't some abstract notion, but his daily imperative. No longer could he be aloof. He had to be empathetic, understanding, patient, fair. Well, actually, no, he didn't have to be those things. Certainly many emperors before and after him were not. But greatness demanded it. He wasn't perfect, but he tried. Marcus, as he got older, had to learn how to be full of love, as he would say. He had to see the good in people. He could not let his heart grow hard, as we've said. Instead, he had to learn to strengthen it like the muscle that it was, so he could use it. And that's what leaders do. They have to care practically, personally, professionally. How about you? Are you strengthening that muscle, particularly in these difficult times? Has command or power made you cynical? Are you working on becoming more conscientious and caring? Not because you have to, but because you know that to be great, to reach your potential as a parent, a partner, a creator, a friend, a human being, that this is what is demanded of you. All right, so today we've got some questions from folks about time management, the most important resource there is to manage and to optimize because it is the least renewable. You know, people think about, hey, how do I get a car with better gas mileage? But they don't think about how to get more mileage out of what they do or the decisions they make. And so if we start with this first question, like, how do I manage my time better? What are the sort of big productivity tips that we can think about in terms of time management? So I have a few. So the first one is what time you wake up, right? Waking up early to me is the ultimate productivity tip. It's the way we start. You know, the Stoics sort of talk about, you know, starting the day off right. You know, Marcus Aurelius has this debate with himself in Book 5 of Meditations. I know you don't want to get out of bed. I know the covers are warm, he's saying, but look, you were put on this planet to do something and it's time to do it. You know, Seneca talks about the importance of the beginnings. And so there is this theme in the Stoics about waking up early. To me, the morning is where we have stillness. The morning is where there's quiet. The morning is where there's fewer interruptions. The morning is also when we're freshest. So it's about, for me, owning the morning. The number one thing I want to do when I wake up in the morning is I want to wake up, but I want to be proactive rather than reactive. So what I'm not doing is checking the phone first thing. What I'm not doing is checking email first thing. What I'm not doing is checking the news first thing. I don't want to start the day on my back foot. So it's about owning the morning, starting the day off right, starting the day deliberately. Don't just wake up whenever you feel like it. Go to bed at a good time, wake up at a good time. And then a big thing for me is starting the day with the most important task first. So don't, so it's like if you're freshest in the morning, if there's one really important thing to do, do that thing first. That's where we want to start the day. You know, tackling the project from the heavy end, right? Don't do this little thing and then, oh, I got to run to the store and then, oh, I got to go do this and then, oh, I got to check this out and then I was going to respond to this and then I've got this phone call. Like front load the heavy stuff in the morning. That's the way I think about it. I don't like to schedule things in the morning. I don't do administrative stuff in the morning. For me, the morning is the creative time. It's the thing I want to focus on. It's when I want to do my best work and I want to do it earliest. The other thing I think about it as far as time management is like I have a short to-do list every day. My to-do list had, I think, 6 things on it today. I'm recording this here at, what time is it? It is 10:56 Central Time. And I've crossed off 4 of those items. The other item I have I grabbed it and I have it to do later in the afternoon. And the other one is a phone call I have to make and I'm going to make it when I'm driving, as I was saying. So, the day is like it's only 11 and I've done most of what I have to do for the day. There's lots of other things that I'm going to do, of course, but like, let's say, I suddenly don't feel well. Let's say that, some big emergency happens or let's say, I just have the opportunity and like my kid wants to play or, my wife needs something. And I just say, you know what? Stop. It's family time. Like I'm not going to do anything else. I've already gotten what I think a normal person would have hoped to do in the course of a day. I did all the stuff that I need to do already. So prioritization, front loading, and then limiting the amount of things that you need to do is to me a really important keystone of time management. And the next question, this is from Steve. He's saying, what should I stop doing? What are habits to stop? And I actually think this is a great question. I think this is probably where a mind like Tim Ferriss would gravitate towards. He's always looking at why are people doing this? Does it need to be done? What would it look like if, he had this good question. What would it look like if I stopped doing blank, right? What would it look like if I stopped traveling? What would it look like if I stopped smoking pot? What would I look like? What would it look like if I stopped doing X, Y, or Z? Marcus Aurelius's version of this question is like, ask yourself, is this necessary? He says, with all things, is this necessary? And the truth is, a lot of what we do isn't necessary. It's an obligation. It's a continuation of something we've done for a while. It's the way that other people always do it. So like, is this necessary? That is a huge question I would push you to think about. So some ones that I think are worth stopping just in the abstract. Obviously, different people are different scenarios, but stop social media or limit social media as much as you can. For me, Instagram is not something I have on my phone. I have to get my phone from my wife to use it, which severely curtails my use of it. I don't have Twitter on my phone, and I have not used Facebook now a year and a half? I don't have Snapchat. I don't honestly understand what TikTok is. Although, from what I have read, it's basically a tool of the Chinese government to spy on you. So I do not use TikTok. I just severely limit my social media use because the purpose of social media, it's not to connect people. The purpose of social media is to get you to use social media. You are what is being sold on social media. And so the more you can limit your use there, the more time you will have to spend on the things that don't matter. Cal Newport talks about the importance of deep work, sort of hard, focused concentration on big ideas and thinking and what Marcus Aurelius would say, concentrating like a Roman. Social media is the enemy of that. And so the more you can limit your social media use, the more time you'll have. A couple things I also don't do. I feel like one of the greatest gifts my parents gave me is that they didn't let me play video games until I was, older, like let's say like 10 or not, let's say like 12 or 13 or something like that. Like it was towards the end of like middle school. I think the first system I got was like a Nintendo 64, and it was like so far. It was already late then, and I was so bad at it. The point is, I'm not good at video games, and so I don't enjoy playing them, and I don't play them. The amount of time that people fritter away on video games, could create, countless masterpieces. I think it says something about where we are as a culture right now that the top YouTube channels are not video games, right? Video games is playing in a fake reality, which is, not great. There's doing something in real life. Then there's consuming fiction or reading or, watching a movie, which is like sort of pretend life. But you're watching you're immersing yourself in a fake, in a beautiful sort of artistic world. Then there's video games, which is you playing in that world. And then there are the YouTube streaming channels where you are watching other people play in those worlds. And to me, if we think about time as a non-renewable resource, that we have a finite amount of time on this planet, that seems like a really silly place to spend your time. I totally get the importance of leisure. I like watching movies, I'm not saying you have to be all business all the time, but video games just to me seem like a preposterous use of time. I talk about the importance of relationships in stillness. I also feel like one of the big productivity breakthroughs of my life was totally unintentional and totally accidental, but was hugely fortunate. I met my wife when I was 19 years old, and we've been together since then. And as a result, I don't have a part-time job, meeting people and going out. I'm not investing in relationships and then finding that didn't pan out. I'm not getting caught up in drama with this or that. I don't sort of willingly spend any time in bars. I'm never, scrolling Tinder or Hinge or Bumble. I get to be with a person, and a relationship takes a lot of time. There's no question. But what I'm not doing is searching for relationships because I have that. And so, I don't have a problem with drinking per se. I don't have a problem with going out. I don't have a problem with having a good time. But the point is, I think these things end up sort of the tail wags the dog there. People end up, as the Stoics sort of criticize people who the Stoics is sort of like, let's eat to live, not live to eat. I think instead of, living for a relationship, people end up chasing this thing and it consumes their life, and it takes them away from sort of what's important. It takes them away from themselves. Then they wonder, like, where did all the time go? And I think they know the answer of where it goes. And then the last question, this is from Courtney. It says, how can I get better at saying no? It's a great question. It's a hard one. It's one I struggle with quite a bit myself. I've talked about this before, but it's one of those things that's so important. It's probably worth talking about again. I have my friend, his name is Dr. Jonathan Fader. He's a sports psychologist. He works with the Mets. He's worked with the Major League Baseball. He's worked with a number of authors I know. He sent me this framed picture of Oliver Sacks, who has had a framed print in his office that just said, no, capital letters, exclamation point. And I look at that and it's hard to say no. I get it. I struggle with it. I have an email in my inbox that someone sent me 2 weeks ago if I want to do this podcast. And then I was like, I really didn't want to do it. So I ignored it. And then they followed up and it's still sitting there. And I know what I should do is say no. And so I'm actually glad I'm talking about this, because when I finish this, I'm going to get up and I'm just going to say no. There's just not life is too short to say yes to things that you weren't interested in doing if it had never come across your desk in the first place. One of the benefits of having kids for me has been I realized that when I was saying yes to other people for things, I was saying no to myself, or I was saying no to my wife. But apparently I have a willingness to do that. But when I realize, oh, if I say no, if I say yes to this, what I'm saying no to is, you know, taking my, going swimming with my son, or I'm saying no to having dinner with my family or being there for bedtime. And realizing what you're saying no to when you say yes is really, really important. And so having, you know, having, being able to externalize it that way is really, really important. A good piece of advice, I got a piece of advice from Steve Kam, who has a great site called Nerd Fitness. I talked about masterminds a couple episodes ago when I was with that in that mastermind with him in Sedona in January. He's like, say that you have a rule, or he said, come up with a rule. So it's like, what is your rule? So like Casey Neistat, for instance, has a rule. He's home for bath time every day. And so if you say, hey, do you want to get coffee? Do you want to have dinner tonight at 6? He says, no, I have to be home for bath time. I have a rule. He says, no, I'm home for bath time every night. That's my rule, right? So like during this pandemic, I decided early on, I'm not going to do any Instagram lives with people. So when people have emailed me, I said, look, I've just decided I'm not doing that. And so I have a rule. I'm not doing this anymore. Or I have a rule against doing book blurbs. So I don't do book blurbs. And then I have a polite, straightforward answer to doing those, to saying no. And that makes it easier and simpler. And people are very understanding of this when you're straightforward and they respect the rule, I guess is what I'm saying. So that's a really good way to think about it. Coming up with rules, setting those rules, really important. And the last thing that I use for perspective of saying no is I just go, okay, when the Stoics talk about memento mori, what they mean is like, you could die. And when Marcus says, are you afraid of death because you don't want to do this anymore? He's giving you some really important contrasts about what you say no, yes and no to. It's like, I didn't become a writer to do an endless amount of podcast episodes on shows that I don't really care about, right? And so it's like, look, like, I could die tomorrow. Am I going to be glad that I sat down and wrote, or am I going to be glad that I, you know, recorded 3 hours of interviews? You know, what are your priorities? What matters to you? And then in light of the fact that you could go at any moment, are you putting those things, are you giving those things their proper, you know, their proper due, or their proper respect? And so just really realizing like, hey, I don't have an unlimited amount of time to give away. And where, if let's say I'm lucky enough to live another 30 years, will I be happy that I said yes to this thing? You know, if this was the last thing I did in my life, would I be glad that I accepted, you know, I said yes to this? And that can give us some really clear and straightforward perspective about these things and make it easier to say no. And I guess the other part of that too is like, if you realize that life is short, you don't care as much about, you know, being seen as a bad guy or slightly hurting someone's feelings for declining an invitation, right? That's another really important part of this. It's like, who are you trying to please, and at what cost are you willing to cultivate that? And I think when Mark says you could leave life right now, let that determine what you do and say and think, I think it makes it easier to say no. Thanks so much for listening to the Daily Stoic Podcast. Again, if you don't know this, you can get these delivered to you via email every day. So check it out at dailystoic.com/email. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Daily Stoic early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts.
There's a lot of things we know would be good for us. Problem is, we don't have time. It's just tougher I think therapy is like that. We all know that sitting down, talking to someone, really working on our issues will make a difference. So the problem is finding a therapist, driving across town, all of that, right? And that's where Talkspace comes in, today's sponsor. Because by doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easier, more accessible, and more affordable. With Talkspace, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. You can have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your home. And Talkspace is secure and private, using the latest end-to-end grade encryption to store client information and complying with the latest HIPAA regulations. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/stoic and enter code SPACE80. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/stoic and enter promo code SPACE80, that's 80, to get $80 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's Talkspace.com/stoic, promo code SPACE80. Guy Raz's How I Built This is a podcast where each week he talks to the founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you hear these entrepreneurs really go into their story. And Guy is an incredible interviewer. He doesn't just dance around the surface. He has real questions because he himself is an entrepreneur. He's built this huge show and this huge company. In a recent episode, they talked to the founder of Liquid Death, that crazy water company that's become this billion-dollar brand. Follow the show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. And for a deep dive in daily business content, listen to Wondery Destination for Business podcasts with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.